Tonight, we're honored to have two 4-H members come forward for the invocation and the pledge. And it's Casey Clark and her brother Brent Clark from eastern part of Faulkner County. Far east part.
The best part.
So, you will join me and stand.
If you would bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us all to get here safely and be with all these Quorum Court members as they make decisions and help them to have a sound mind. And be with us all as we travel home. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Brett and Casey, Brett is the state president of 4-H. Just elected 3 months. I'm going to give him a chance to say it right here. State president, we're pretty proud of this kind of achievement.
Yes, sir. I'd like to say about this board. I don't know if I would have done that because, you know, we have an amazing 4-H program. The past 6 years, we've had 4 different state officers, and I would be the 4th. We've had 2 presidents, and so I would be the 2nd. And so a little bit of a thank you all to y'all, and thank you to my agent and all the previous agents and the extension services, and hope to do good because I was elected 3 weeks ago and plan on doing some big things with it. So that's my little story there.
Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Boyer. Cates.
Here.
Good.
Here.
Higgins.
Here.
Houston.
Here.
Kendricks.
Here.
Lahosky.
Here.
Knight.
Here.
Pearson.
Here.
Pickett.
Here.
Rowland.
Here.
Schock.
Here.
Toll.
Here.
Thank you. Next item is approval of the journal. Turn to tab 1. What is your pleasure?
Make a motion we approve the journal as written.
Second.
Motion's been made and second. Approval of the journal as written. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next item, county officer's report. Turn to tab 2 and start with Scott Sampson's representative.
Thank you. For the period ending July 31st, County General Fund 1000 had $3,010,545.79. County Road Fund 2000 had $3,877,849.74. County Road Sales Tax Fund 3402 had $4,396,862.62. Animal Welfare and Control Fund 3404 had $1,562,822.18, and Criminal Justice Sales Tax Fund 3407 has $774,088.75.
If you would, there's a graph behind it that you can look at under our county general revenue, and then the sales tax projection underneath that. Please take this with you and review it. It's not going to change any from now to the budget. And all we're, I'll just say this, we're blessed in Faulkner County. Move on.
Your Honor, I will point out that next month, next month will be the first month that we should see the new internet sales tax numbers start to fall down into this number. So I wouldn't be surprised if that number jumps up somewhat. You know, Amazon had been self-giving, I guess is the best way of putting it, self-reporting. But all the stores on Amazon Marketplace had not been, and so they're collected for the first time in July, as well as like eBay Marketplace. So that we should start seeing those numbers next month.
We'll take all the help we can get.
Yes, sir.
Margaret, do you have any report you need?
My report is in the book. If you guys have any questions, you're welcome to reach out to me at any time. I would like to thank y'all for the appropriation last month, and my office should be finished tomorrow.
There is a folded up section of what tabs is under Margaret?
That's going to be what Mr. Pickett brings, that tab 7.
Yeah, okay.
For the assessor.
Your report's under.
It should be under the county officer report. It's behind, it should be behind Scott's.
Okay. I see. Thank you. All right. Sheriff Rawls, you're on with next.
Judge, last month in July, our July stats for detention, our average head count at Unit 1, which has a capacity of 118, we averaged 145. Our average head count for Unit 2, the male side, the capacity is 218, we averaged 132. The average head count of females that we have, the capacity is 88, we had 78. Inmate intakes was 540. Our inmate releases is 533. Our average ADC, Arkansas Department of Correction inmates housed is 42. On the patrol side, total numbers of calls to dispatch was 2,354. And the total numbers of calls to the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office was 1,867. The number of violent crimes and domestics, that we had 134 for the month of July. The number of thefts and criminal mischief is 100. All other calls was 1,633. Criminal Investigation Division, we opened 97 cases. We closed 34 cases. And our transport total trips was 62 trips. For a total miles of 6,012, and that cost was $4,513.91. And that's all I have.
Any questions of the sheriff? Thank you, Tim. Moving on, next item, standing committee reports. Start with personnel committee.
Your Honor, we met on 8/13. At the request of Justice Lahosky, we talked about conflicting ordinances involving the county attorney. We heard from the county attorney that night, who gave us, I guess, somewhat of an ample warning that he most likely would be leaving employment of the county by the end of the year. There are several options that he would like to look at, subcontracting him, us leaving him as is, or there's also the option of moving over to the prosecutor. Probably will make a motion at the end of this meeting tonight that we have a special meeting to deal with this issue and funding for the jail at a later date. That's it.
Courts of Public Safety.
Your Honor, Courts of Public Safety met August 13th. And see, Councilor Hope provided an update on fire department redistricting, specifically as it applies to Centerville and Greenbrier Fire Departments. That led to a pretty lengthy discussion about fire redistricting in general. So we had some discussion on that. Also, we discussed with Councilor Hogue and Angie Woolley from the Sheriff's Office. They provided a detailed overview of jail fees referencing ordinances 92-20 and 93-24. I think that was a very informative and beneficial discussion that took a bit of time that was very informative regarding jail fees.
Finance Committee.
Yes, Judge, the Budget and Finance met last Tuesday on the 13th of August. We have ordinance 19-34 submitted to the court for its approval. And in addition, there's an emergency ordinance that's in your under tab 7 that we will discuss when it comes up on the agenda later tonight.
Infrastructure Committee.
Yes, Your Honor, we met tonight. For July and August, the County Road Shop installed 110, or replaced 110 culverts, completed 3 bridges. Throughout the flood, they provided sandbags for about 250,000 sandbags for the county and established 3 emergency routes for residents during the flood. They've also picked up sandbags throughout the county and done a phenomenal job during that time. OEM also applied for mitigation this last month, and we had until September 1st for any of the residents to apply for that. Is that correct? That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me. I don't have a report, but I'm going to give one anyway. Is that all right? Spay and neuter program is working great. We partnered with Paul's something at Spring Hill, and I really had a list of the report, but I can't remember. It's costing us $37.50 per animal. Cats are $25, dogs are $50. It's costing us $37.50 per animal. And if my memory serves correct, we've done about just a little bit less than 200 so far. And we spent a little around $7,000 so far since it's been in place. And they bill us every 15 days. And we're trying our best to monitor it and all. And we get in the billing, they get a breakdown of each animal. And the name, address, and person that brings the animal in. It's all in the building and all of them. Right now, this thing's working great. And hopefully, in all fairness, with a good pilot program we're running, this may be something that we try to figure out how we might be able to continue. I mean, it's not, we hadn't used near all the money yet, but we had set up for it. But by the time we get a little closer, we discuss the future of this program based on the pilot results. That's my report on Clay and Newton. But I know it hadn't been mentioned since we started, so I thought at least we'd give a look at it.
Thank you, Judge.
The next item is old business. Turn to tab 3. Proposed ordinance 1928. It's my understanding this has been read 3 times, and at the last meeting we moved to consider it at this meeting, I believe. I don't think it got tabled or anything else. It was moved to wait for this minute, this meeting to consider for the vote. So I declare the floor is open for any discussion on this proposed ordinance 1928 this time.
Sure. The only thing that's changed since last month was what we discussed, and it was an issue that Crystal Taylor had brought forth about sending out some of the public information of jurors and whatnot. So Section 6 was added, and it says this ordinance shall not require disclosure of personal names or information of non-elected individuals. So that was added for that consideration, so we weren't putting juror information and some sensitive information out online. That's really the only thing that's changed in this. This is another step that we've been making in a push to make us what I hope is the most transparent county in Arkansas, and it's another major step in making us financially transparent. It's going to put all of our county spending out online so anybody can go look at it at any time. They can see the different departments. They can see where their money is being spent, and if they have any questions, they can ask about it. And another great thing is that it will be on the county website, and it's going to be available to anybody if I've got a constituent down the street that's deployed in the military, he or she can go look at that, where they're deployed at anywhere across the world. So I think it's a really, really good ordinance, and I want to speak in favor of it tonight. And Judge, I've actually got somebody here, a guest, that would like to speak on behalf of it. It's Dr. Mavuto Kalulu. He's with Arkansas Center for Research and Economics, ACRE, at UCA. He's also a Faulkner County resident. He's a policy analyst for them, and I would call him the leading researcher for transparency here in Arkansas. So whenever that might be appropriate.
Let's hold him for just a moment. Other discussion from the four court members about this ordinance. Hearing none, let's call someone you've asked
to come. Dr. Kalulu? Thank you, sir.
Introduce yourself.
You might just have to speak loudly.
Here, set this one. I'm not going to use it.
I'm not sure if we can.
May I pull it down for
you? My name is Mavuto Kalulu. I have a PhD in economics from the University of Mississippi. And I'm a policy analyst at the Arkansas Center for Research in Economics, which is housed at the business school at the University of Central Arkansas. I'm the lead researcher on transparency and good governance at the Arkansas Center for Research in Economics. This testimony does not represent the views of UCA, but the Arkansas Center for Research in Economics. I would like to start by commending the Quorum Court for considering the financial transparency bill. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity to testify in favor of the ordinance that requires that the county publishes monthly expenses online. The ordinance is a good step towards promoting transparency in Faulkner County. My goal is first to tell you the status of financial transparency in Arkansas counties, and secondly, to explain why transparency is important. 2 years ago, my colleagues and I at the Arkansas Center for Research in Economics embarked on a project to assess public information counties in Arkansas published online. The catalyst for the project was a 2013 Sunshine Review Assessment Online Transparency, which was conducted for all government levels throughout the whole nation. The assessment revealed that Arkansas counties were the worst in the nation in publishing public information online. Arizona and California were the best two. To rid Arkansas of this label, the Arkansas Center for Research in Economics embarked on a transparency project to periodically assess the status of both transparency at county level and highlight areas that need improvement. The results of our inaugural assessment are compiled in a report titled Access Arkansas, County Level Transparency, which we published in 2018. Overall, we concluded that there is a deficiency in online transparency in Arkansas counties. Specific to financial transparency, our assessment revealed that 49 counties in Arkansas do not have financial information online. Faulkner County financial transparency score was a 0.47 out of a maximum score of 1, which can be interpreted as publishing 47% of the important financial information. But why is it important to publish financial information online? Or in general, just publishing the public information online? In general, transparency has so many benefits. One of the benefits, as rightly stated in the ordinance, is that, and I quote, transparency is essential to building public trust and ensuring citizens are informed. Other benefits include enhancing accountability, reducing corruption, and instilling fiscal discipline. Specific to publishing monthly expenditures online, our assessment revealed that 6 counties published their monthly expenses online. For Faulkner County, we observed that only the Circuit Clerk's Office publishes monthly expenditures online. It was encouraging, however, to see the city of Conway become the first city in the state to launch an open checkbook website where residents can see how elected officials are spending the tax dollars. While the proposed county's open checkbook will not be searchable at the moment, it's the first step towards putting expenditure data online. Hopefully, the next step will be to move towards a searchable database similar to that of the city of Conway, which is modeled after the state database. It will allow residents not only to see the monthly expenditures, but to analyze and examine them as well. Like Arkansas, all state governments in the U.S. provide checkbook level data, and benefits of these open checkbooks are well documented in a report titled Follow the Money, which was published in 2018 and is published by the Public Interest Research Group. The report states that many states have realized some savings from having an open checkbook. More efficient government through these three ways. The government become more efficient in their administration. There is more competitive bidding for public projects. And also there's less staff time spent in information requests. For example, in Mississippi, it was reported that every information request fulfilled by its transparency website rather than a state employee saves the state between $750 and $1,000 in staff time. In closing, I'd like to reiterate that there is a deficiency in the publication of public information online by Arkansas counties, and that there is a way to remedy this. This ordinance moves Faulkner County towards greater transparency. The benefits of transparency include better management of financial resources and the enhancement of trust between residents and their county government. Thank you for your for considering this ordinance, and thank you for the opportunity to testify in favor of this bill. I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Well, I have a question. Thank you. Other discussion on proposed ordinance 1928.
Judge, I do have one question. Do we need to make a motion to read this by title only or officially?
It will be read.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, sir.
It's already been read three times, I believe. My understanding.
Gotcha.
It won't be read. Let me make a statement. The absence of counselor is noticeable. Some of you, David Ho was at the emergency room at the hospital. Put it on the prayer list. But he was carried just about 10 minutes to 7. All right. Hearing no other discussion, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Cates.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Houston.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Toll.
Yes.
Proposed Ordinance 1928 does pass. Folks, forgive me. I've overlooked one short report by me trying to get the dog report in. The county agent, I've asked him to make a short remarks, and he said he'd keep them short, but I had him on my list. Given the dog report, I overlooked it. I'm sorry. Come, Kevin,
it's okay.
I don't want to keep you.
Yeah, I'll keep it real short.
Well, I like the supper, so I don't want to keep you longer.
Yeah, I'll keep it short. I appreciate y'all letting us come forward and just giving you a short report of some of the progress we made this summer. If you'll remember, we were here in April. That's when Mary Beth Gross, who is our SCS agent, was hired. And we gave you an update of everything we had done up until that point in April. So the report you have in front of you is from me, Mary Beth, Candy Green, who is our 4-H agent, and Richard Clark, who was our horticulture agent, of what we've done from May up until right now. So everything here is just from 3 months of what we've been doing. And Richard Clark wanted to make a point that he retired July 31st. and we have hired a new horticulture agent. Her name is Krista Quinn. She'll start October 1st. So when she comes on board, I'll bring her and let her meet all of y'all. And basically, I just wanted to highlight some of the things we've done with 4-H. Candy's done a really good job with their numbers. You can see we have 345 youth enrolled in our club numbers and 574 in our group youth, which would be like school programs and things like that. We have 19 community clubs, so we've got a lot of stuff going on with 4-H. Mary Beth has hit the ground running doing her family consumer science. Agent duties, she had some canning classes that were very successful. She tries to keep them kind of small to do the one-on-one instruction, and I think you've got a waiting list now for more. They were very successful, and she made some really good salsa. I had some of it, so she did a really good job, and she has really hit the ground running. Richard is over our Master Gardener program. Now that'll be Krista. We have over 200 Master Gardeners doing several projects across the county, including the libraries, the cabin that's out here, the Legacy Garden at Antioch Baptist Church. All of those things our Master Gardeners are doing. They do an excellent job. They did some teaching series at Friot Home Garden this year and some teaching things out at Ace Hardware on lawn care. They're really doing a good job spreading the word. Also, Richard or Krista now will be working with the City of Conway on the tree board and with our farmer's market that's out at Antioch. So anybody that goes out there, we kind of work with that. Plus, he's been doing some tomato variety demonstrations and some fire ant demos. And then I'm on the last page there. Since we talked, I've had a couple of really big field days. We had a hay day in conjunction with the Greenway equipment out at Michael Lee's place, the Flying Sea Ranch, very successful. And just last week, we had our River Valley Row Crop Tour down in Lawley, where we saw several of the demonstrations I put together with some of the new technology that's coming out in agriculture. But all of my demonstrations are listed there. I think I've got about 10 demonstrations here in the county, and we've got a couple of multi-county demonstrations, one in Morrilton, one up in Quitman, where we work with other agents and that kind of stuff. Also, I do the IPM program. It's called Integrated Pest Management, IPM, where we work with producers on pest management practices. It's got to be economical to treat. It's got to be, the pest has to be there before we treat. So I walk several fields that are designated as IPM fields in the county every week. Also, I've been putting together a weekly update that I've been sending to all the Corn Court members with some of the info about what's going on in agriculture in the county. So, a lot better news than when I was here last. We talked about the flood. It looks a lot better out there right now as far as agriculture goes in the county. But we just want to say we appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for letting our 4-H'ers come and do the pledge. And also, anybody that will be at the county association meetings tomorrow, the Ag Agents Association does something called Country Kitchen. From 10 to 2, we'll be serving lunch. I think they're going to have gumbo and homemade cobbler. So me, Cammy, and Mary Beth will be down there helping serve. So anybody that's at the meetings tomorrow in Hot Springs, come by and get lunch. So, with that, I appreciate y'all very much. Thank y'all.
Any questions? No. How many rice acres we got in this county?
We have 80. We usually have around 1,100.
How many corn acres do we have for corn production?
We have 300, but most of that's silage. With the Simon Brothers dairy, all of it was flooded out.
So, what's the condition of the late soybeans?
Late soybeans are in very, very bad shape. Planted, if you look at inside the levee where the flood stayed longer, those beans were planted a lot later. Last year, with the wet conditions, soybean quality was low. So when it's planted early at very high seeding rates, everything looked good. But this year, planted late, anything behind the levee planted late, those soybeans are very, very bad. As a matter of fact, I've had the state soybean specialist down to look at them, kind of see what's going on. We were really afraid the flood had done something to the ground. They looked so bad. But it's just strictly planted too late and bad vigor.
I don't want you to leave here on a bad note. Tell us about the hay crop.
Hay crop is excellent if you live in the northern part of the county, as long as you didn't get flooded out. It's excellent. I've got a lot of guys that are talking about not even cutting that last bit of hay and saving it for stockpiling their cattle, letting them graze their cattle on it because they've got enough hay and they've got cuckoos of grass. We've been very fortunate with the rain that we've gotten after the flood. I was telling Judge today, if you go to Marlton Bottoms, everybody's running their pivots on hay and on soybeans and corn. We haven't run one pivot in this county yet or irrigated anything. And we have outside of the, you know, on the outside of the levee, some really good looking beans. So we've been very fortunate in that standpoint. Plus, we have not had any army worms in this county yet. Perry County has gotten hit pretty hard in the Totsuck area. We're yet to get them. And that's a big expense to most hay producers this time of year. And right now, we haven't had them.
I sprayed 3 times last year for army worm.
Yeah.
None this year.
And that's been very common. We're to the point now, if we do happen to get them, we would only spray 1 time at the most.
That'd be it.
So.
There you go. Thank you, Mr. Lawson. Right.
Thank you all. We appreciate y'all.
Sorry, I overlooked you.
It happens all the time.
Just Taylor, do you have anything?
I would like to report, just kind of brag on my staff tonight. They've been working on about a 2-year project since we went online with our records and started e-reporting. We discovered that there were a lot of records that had full Social Security numbers on them, even earlier than the date when the statute came out that those things shouldn't be filed. So we've been actually cleaning those up, and they redacted somewhere around 200,000 records in the past 2 years in their downtime of all their other duties, working with criminal, domestic, civil, juvenile, jury programs, trials, recording the new stuff. I mean, they do all of that, and they were able to get over 200,000 redactions done. So I'm really proud of my staff. I think next week we'll be done with that, and our land records will be turned on back to 1970. So I want to brag on them.
Thank you. Moving right along, back on track. Proposed ordinance 1929. This is the third reading. In the absence of the counselor, I will read the title and we will move forward. Being enacted by the Quorum Court of the County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled, an ordinance approving Lost Tigers to proceed to the ABC period. This scientist, Margaret Garver, Quorum Court Secretary Jim Baker, Faulkner County Judge. Being the third reading, and all the floor is now open for discussion. Chris, you're the sponsor.
Sure. Thank you, Judge. Okay. I would like to speak in favor of this ordinance tonight. Mr. Ringel was unable to be here tonight. He had an emergency. He had to go out of state. But as we've discussed in other meetings for this ordinance, he already has a permit for his private club. He's asking to move that within the county, so he's already been vetted by ABC. He's maintained his license by ABC. He's just asking for it to be transferred within the county. The county already has other private clubs within the county. I believe there's 3 of them within the county, not including Conway. Mr. Engel's a small business owner. He's trying to run his business. He's trying to provide for his family, create jobs, and pay taxes. He's got a significant investment into this license. I believe it was over $10,000, and he's still paying annually to maintain that, and he's not able to use that. My recommendation is that we move this on to allow him to go to ABC to be vetted by the state to see if he can get his club permit in that location. I think this ordinance will show that it's stating that Faulkner County is open for business. We as a governmental body is not going to get in the way of business owners seeing the best way that they're trying to run their business and what they need to do that. So I would speak in favor of this ordinance tonight. Thank you.
Who's next?
Your Honor, I know Mr. Dixon is here to speak against the ordinance. I don't know what time you want him to come up.
I think right now would be a good time to come. Let's see. You ready?
Yes, sir. You ready for me?
You're the pastor of the church right across the road from this from
proposal?
Yes, sir.
You've got the floor.
Okay.
Thank you, Board. I just want to say, as a lead pastor at Conway Cowboy Church and also as a small business owner in this community, I do oppose that ordinance being passed. Simply, if we just want to be simple, I think we've been a dry county all our life. All my life, I've been a native here all my life, and it's been a dry county. But also, in another matter, and I know each one of you received a copy of the ordinance or the covenant that was placed on the property by myself back in 2002. I owned that property at one time, and when I sold that property, I put a ordinance or a covenant on that property. You should have received an email last week with that. I realize through council that there is really that's something I have to take care of in civil with the landowner. I've tried to talk to the landowner several times about it, just haven't, because I considered him a neighbor and a friend, haven't went to the point of going to civil court with him. And I'm just asking the court tonight to consider that in your decision. I know y'all have your reasons for wanting to go through. I'm not trying to cause problems for anybody, but as an individual who's done business in Conway for 30 years, as many of you know, I've been in retail for 30 years. I've never had a liquor license because I never thought it was an option, and I don't really understand why it's an option. I understand the city's made a lot of pathways, and I can appreciate that, but I believe the core of the county is against this, and I paid in a whole lot of sales tax and road tax and every kind of tax between you can imagine in this county, but never once expected that I deserved something that wasn't legal in our county. And that's just my own personal convictions. And as a pastor, we do our best to give hope and give positive reinforcement for people's lives and a positive answer. And we have a student building that's within 50 feet or 50, 25 yards, whatever you want to call it, of that building. I set this up in 2002, never knowing I'd be in a church or pastor. That was merely a business decision because I owned the store across the road. Owning the store across the road, I've got a restaurant in it. It's never dawned on me. It's a dry county. and I think I just ask the court to consider the responsible thing. So if you want to file for it in other properties, that's fine. But to keep us from having to go to a civil court and fight this over something I paid $10,000 to have stamped and done back in 2002, I would appreciate you considering another resident of this community that's been involved in it for a number of years and respected the law and tried to do business here and with the regulations that were put for me.
Yes, sir. Just to be clear, in case there may be someone who doesn't understand the locations of everything, you own the Amos store, correct, which is just adjacent to where this property is. The Cowboy Church is directly across from this property.
And the youth building is right.
And the youth center used to be a feed store, for some that may not realize where it's at, is right directly beside this. And in summarization, you sold this property and put the covenant on no business, no residential business. Only.
Residential only.
And that was to the present owner.
Yeah, and that's because I owned the Amos store at the time. And as the previous landowner, had that option. And so I exercised my option to do that. Didn't need property, but I didn't want a store coming across there.
Yes, sir. Well, we appreciate what you do for our community.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you. And like I said, we're not trying to cause issue with anybody. We love everybody, and I'm not trying to stop business in Clark County. Like I said, I'm a firm believer in business in Faulkner County. I employ a lot of people in Faulkner County between trucking companies and stores. I'm an avid for Faulkner County business, and I appreciate your sincere desire to see that. I'm just asking you to consider responsibility and the responsibleness of something. I've got a Faulkner County document that they put in play in 2002. We're all here for Faulkner County. Why would we ignore something that's already out there?
Thank you, Shane.
I just have one thing. How long has the restaurant been there?
There's been a restaurant there 4 or 5 years. And I've had numerous conversations with Mr. Story, who actually owns the property. I even tried to get him to sign an affidavit saying that he realized that he was breaking the covenant. He refused. And, you know, I was trying to work with him as a neighbor. Say, hey, you know, if you want to, you know, there's supposed to not be anything there, but if you're going to insist on doing it, will you at least just sign a covenant so that I'll have record that I've tried to talk to you about it and tried to, you know, trying to keep. Don't, like I said, I'm not trying to harm anybody's business. And I like Gino. We bought cheese dip over there for the students several times. I mean, we're not against Gino at all. It's just a matter of, in my opinion, it's a common sense thing. It's a dry county, but also next to a church where you have 50 to 90 students every Monday night running around out there and different activities through the week. It just doesn't seem, and I understand we don't have restrictions in Faulkner County because it's a dry county.
The restaurant's been there for, you said, 4 years?
It's not Gino, but there's been
a restaurant.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
There's been multiple restaurants at that location, so that's...
Thank you.
I don't know why Mr. Angles is the one of issue before the court, but there has been restaurants in that location.
I understand. Years. You don't understand.
I said I don't understand why all of a sudden it's an issue with Mr. Angle's business when there's been other ones there. So, because that's one thing I did speak to Mr. If you'll give me one second.
Sure.
I did speak with Mr. Hogan. I wish he was here. But that's one of the things I asked him about the legal document because I was curious of the ramifications upon the court to do that. And that's one thing that he explained is, or what he told me, I don't think he minds repeating this, is that basically with the covenant, the county is not in the business of enforcing covenants. If the covenant wanted to be enforced, it would be between the entities or the individuals within that covenant to enforce, either within that or through other means that they could seek to do that, and the county's not involved with doing that. So this is some of the discussion him and I had because I was curious the impact and the legal impact of that. So
yeah, something here related. I got to enforce that. Yeah, I recognize that, and that's what I'm asking y'all. Keep me, and this has been an issue before. I mean, I went to Mr. Story on numerous occasions, and it got nowhere. He disregarded the deed that was stamped and everything by Faulkner County. But I was hoping maybe the court would see the legitimacy of it and keep us from having to go to court. I mean, the reason I'm here now is because we're talking about liquor license going next door in a community that I've lived in all my life, and I really. And like I said, try to leave a church across the road from and next door to. There's legitimate reasons why it's being brought up before y'all tonight. It's because of the current vote. But yes, I have mentioned it to him several times. I've even had documents presented and even had attorneys get ready to file a suit. I don't like going through legal stuff any more than you guys do. I'm trying to be a neighbor and community person more than I have the legal hard notes. So.
Yeah. Have you ever read the vetting process for a liquor license?
No.
That's close to a church?
No.
Just might want to read that. So, I mean, I have confidence in our state that they do a very good job of vetting all businesses. I understand how many people feel, you know, about Faulkner County being wet versus dry. But the fact is, we are a damp county. We've had private license, club license in this county for decades. And for us to deny someone, you know, when we actually don't do the vetting process, you know, I feel like we'll deny someone's liberty. So,
I
suggest you read that because there are some stances there in your favor, actually.
And I've heard that. I just, like I said, my personal convictions and hopes is that maybe the court could find maybe it's in y'all's court at this point. I mean, I know in the last couple of years it's been turned over to y'all for y'all to be able to make the decisions of who people can go ahead forward to ABC. I know they can only get to ABC by going to y'all. And I want to encourage you to really consider more than the financial gain that might come from it, but what all we're opening up by doing that. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Anybody else have a question?
Shane, Your Honor, I'm going to have to recuse on this issue with my new role at the state being actually over ABC now. I would want to point out something to Justice Rowland, though. That vetting process that you're talking about, that took place at another location. So, you know, when that liquor license was applied for and vetted, it was at a different location. So ABC will actually come back and vet it
again
if we approve. So there's no guarantee that just because they vetted it positive before that it will be vetted positive again.
I think that was your point, yeah.
I actually think that's been a misrepresentation, that he's just moving it over.
That's
not the case at all. He was vetted at a location, and now he's applying for a new license.
Correct.
So this moving it over is not true.
That's a valid statement. So again, I've got to recuse on the vote on this, but I do want to ask you a question. In the event that this court tonight basically votes to in the affirmative, knowing that there is a restriction on the deed there, and I hate to put you on the spot, but I just think that this is important information for the court to understand. Will there be a civil action filed? Okay. All right. Very good.
Because I've got it wrote up. I mean, the attorney's got it wrote up.
Right. Okay. Fair. I'm just curious that. Okay. I don't have anything else. But, Judge, I do have one of my constituents is here, Amy McClellan. Once Shane is through, she'd like to speak as well.
That's enough.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Amy, come forward. You want the microphone?
I don't.
It'll help.
No.
Identify yourself as Amy McClellan?
Yes.
Sometimes I feel the same way you do. Thank you.
My name is Amy McClellan. I'm a registered nurse in this county. I'm a mother of two, and I'm a grandmother of six. I'm also a mother of a child that was killed by a drunk driver. I'm a grandmother of four children that have lost that mother. This is very personal to me. This is very at home to me. This is my neighborhood. This is my community. I bought a house in this county a little over a year ago. Dry County. Apparently, Dry County doesn't mean Dry County. I know my pastor, Shane, doesn't want to make a fuss. I am here to make a fuss. This is a personal thing to me. Two of those children that are without their mother attend this church and will attend this youth. I don't want this in my neighborhood. They don't want this in their neighborhood. I can only speak to a mother and the grandmothers of this community. I've been in that restaurant. That restaurant has never been a restaurant for more than a few months at a time. If you've been in that restaurant, it is a dump. The health department should close it down. This is not an establishment. This is a front for something else. I charge every one of you to go and see what this is. This is not a restaurant. This is not an establishment that wants to sell alcohol. This is something else. I don't know what he wants to do with it, but to be a legitimate restaurant, that's not it. So, my objection, I think, speaks for itself. I think it speaks loud. And I am here to make a fuss. My name is Amy McClellan, and this won't be the last of me. There's a ton of mothers against drug drivers in this community. My daughter was killed on February 4th, 2017. There were over 10,000 deaths in our nation in that 1 year from drunk driving. Over 10,000. So just imagine all the children in our nation that are without their mothers today, that had their lives ruined and forever ruined. All the mothers without their daughters. She was my only daughter. She was 27. She had four little ones running around without their mother. I spend my Sundays at a cemetery every Sunday. I think my objection stands for itself. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Ms. McClellan. Thank you. Other discussion on this matter?
Your Honor, I'm going to go ahead and get started here. I've got several things I'd like to bring up. One, this is a dry county. It's a damp county, but it's a dry county. Obviously, there have been a lot of establishments within the city limits of Conway, or close to the city limits of Conway. But, I mean, it is what it is. I'm getting a lot of feedback from an area that I live in, resounding feedback that they don't want this out there in that area. And Ms. McClellan, bless her heart, I can't imagine the pain she goes through. But it's something that I'd like to bring up with my experience and my past careers is dealing with alcohol-related deaths. And it is real. Now, I know that some of you guys are thinking, well, he should have the right to be able to serve beer. We can just have a disagreement. We can agree to disagree with that. If he was at his home, that's another thing. But more alcohol is not the answer, in my opinion. Granted, the legal limit for DWI is 0.08. If there is a person who, well, we just went and had two or three beers with our lunch or our supper, at 0.05, you can be charged with DWI if you're in an accident. Now, what that level is depends on a lot of different things. But if you just drink two beers, or one for that matter, albeit you may be legally operating a vehicle, you will still be impaired. The intersection is one of the most dangerous intersections in this county. I have been involved with and worked numerous, countless accidents right there at the intersection with 64 and 36. And we have a gentleman who had a license in Conway, decided to move here, so he didn't do his research to figure out that he had to reapply. And also, this is a property that has a covenant that for residential use only. Right next to a church, people who are trying to raise their kids to do right and do live a happy life and try to teach them and guide them These are folks who I have been in touch with, or I've been in touch with, maybe, who are very much against this. I just think the court would be making a big mistake by approving this. And that's all I have.
Who's next?
Your Honor, I'll just make a couple of comments. I do believe that this is about quality of life. I think it's important that we understand, you know, we've talked about Faulkner County being a dry county. I have a little different perspective in that I'm not a native of Faulkner County. You know, I grew up in Pulaski County where alcohol is rampant. You know, my brother-in-law was killed by a drunk driver in 1997 in Pulaski County by a drunk driver. And it ruined, you know, my sister-in-law and her family, just ruined their family. And so we moved to Faulkner County on purpose because of the quality of life issues, knowing that it was a dry county. And yeah, I understand some of the arguments that Conway has gone a different route, and that maybe we have a couple of locations in the county, but by and large, we have maintained the county as far as what the forum court has had any input on, in maintaining that the alcohol licenses stay in the city of Conway. The three that are out, we didn't have any say-so on those. So, you know, I think it's important that we take in consideration that there are a lot of people in the county, as Justice Shock indicated, that are here for a reason. I don't live in Pulaski County for a reason. You know, I think it's an honor to live in Faulkner County because of the quality of life issues that we have. We certainly don't want this kind of activity in the Greenbrier District 2 area.
Everybody hadn't said what they want to say.
Judge, I do have a question. I think Justice Lahosky mentioned it a couple meetings ago, but I do appreciate the public safety concerns, but I believe Justice Lahosky looked at the numbers from Almost Famous, which is an entity that's within the last couple of years actually opened within the county that serves alcohol. Do you happen to remember those numbers and just tell everybody in the audience that wasn't here with that meeting whether there was a rise in crime or alcohol-related crime?
Absolutely, because I asked Sheriff Riles, or it might have been one of his folks, you know, what their numbers look like. How many times have y'all been called out to Almost Famous since they've had their private club permit? And I think that went back to around sometime in 2017, maybe the beginning of 2017. He said they've had one 911 call out there, and it was because someone was driving four-wheelers in their back lot down at the bottom of the hill. Because I wanted to, like you said, talk about a rise in crime is one of the things we talked about in the past meetings, and I wanted to see if that was happening at Almost Famous. Like I said, that's just at Almost Famous. That's in my district, and they've been a private club for a few years. That's what I found out about it.
So, I don't have the sheriff's record, but I have been contacted the last 7 months 10 times about the noise at Almost Famous past midnight on Friday and Saturday night. Now, I don't know if the sheriff's been called on or not, but that's another issue that goes into this vote, is people living around these premises putting up with the noise after midnight.
Your Honor, I'd also like to make a reply to that. Almost Famous is a little bit more upscale area, restaurant than this place is. It's more open right there by U.S. Highway. This is obviously it's off of 64, but it's a little bit more secluded and a little bit more of a rural area. That's all I got.
You know, just a shock, if I can. You know, Almost Famous opened up after I left the sheriff's office, but I can tell you that there was another place on Highway 65 that used to be prime hunting grounds that when we got caught up on calls with the sheriff's office, we could go and sit and pick up Code 2 drivers on a regular basis. I think you remember those days.
Yes, sir, I did very well. And I will go back to my experience. If, you know, granted, you can't see things through my eyes, but if you had worked the wrecks that I've worked, delivered the death notifications, to parents that I've delivered, I think you might think a little bit harder about this decision.
Your Honor, may I ask a question? And this would be, I guess, for the Conway justices, because I don't know, but I think that Uber or maybe Conway Taxi services all of the Conway restaurants on the weekends. Is that true?
Conway Taxi will, I'm not sure if it's just in Conway, but they'll service any restaurant. Uber will service anywhere. Even if they're in Conway, I think they will service Sonoma County. It's not like a business decision. It's more of like the individual driver.
I understand. So. But you know, one of the points might be that Almost Famous is really considered Conway. I mean, I know it's, quote, in the county. I would tell you that, you know, well, I won't say that, but, it's practically Conway. So if Conway Taxi served, does Conway Taxi serve them, you know, with free drives? Okay. I just would question if that would happen all the way out at the corner of 36 and 64. Yeah, I don't know that it wouldn't, but I don't know that it would, being that it's 8 miles out.
I may be wrong about this. I'm not entirely sure, but I think I do know of Conway Yellow Cab servicing local residents as far as Little Rock.
Okay.
I think it's more of
with the free
where
ride,
you're going.
With
yes.
the free rides
yes.
after you're impaired. Okay. Thank you.
Very much. Other discussion? Yes.
If I may.
Yes, you may.
Okay,
identify yourself.
Pardon me?
Identify yourself.
I am Evelyn Tony, and I am from Go Lake, Taylor Mayne's restaurant. And we get something done about that.
You're talking about the noise?
Loud noise, yes.
Mm-hmm. Those soft tin.
Sure, I didn't
know that. Again, I'm not
going to
act like a pseudo-intellectual.
Yeah, we're not either.
I'm just one of the common folk here, but at the same time, we're talking about decibel levels according to the hearing and communication department. Anything above 100 decibels within 15 minutes causes hearing loss, disruption. We're good, hard-working people. I've also got hit by a drunk driver right by that intersection that you're talking about, not siding. Or I'm just mentioning that this place, Taylor Mays, that we're talking about, that I'm 100 yards away, we're not just talking about a noise ordinance. We're talking about wrecks almost happening because the parking lot isn't established. They got sewer system running out in the parking lot. It smells. I'm 100 yards away from this. And I've recorded on an app. We all have apps. Recorded in there, a mile away, that Larry Bishop here, a neighbor that lives over the mountain, a mile away, can hear with hearing problems. They've got 200 square feet to entertain, and we're getting readings every night now. It used to be just Saturdays and Sundays, but now we're getting readings of 90 to 100 decibels every night for hours. We get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. We go to work. After I got hit by a drunk driver, guess what? I didn't take advantage of the system and go get handicapped. I didn't use my 3 degrees, and I went back to the construction field just because I can operate a dozer, but I can't operate my back like I used to. Now, we invested in this community, and point being, not to get on a tangent, is we have the right to have our peace and our enjoyment. I don't know what the legal terminology is, but we have that right as community members established there before that place was. I mean, and now it's turning into the same thing that they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Drunk drivers running out, you know, at midnight, 1 o'clock, yelling and screaming. All we're trying to say is that before it goes to civil court and bring it to the next level, why can't it behoove the community or the county for their financial benefit to put an ordinance on this place for not only the alcohol license that I don't know how they got, but also the noise ordinance. So when we do call the police, they tell us more than put earplugs in, because that's what we're getting. And as community, what else are we left with? We're supposed to come to you, the people that know the laws, that can work around what we're trying to put in our own lingo, shut the hell up. We want something done. We need to go to work every morning. We, you know, this is now 7 days a week. It's not Saturday and Sunday. It's not just when they get a band. It's Wednesday night when they have karaoke night, and there's howling dogs, it sounds like, across the street, and they're all drunk, screaming until 12 o'clock at midnight. There's no ordinances, and they like that, but they've got 200 square feet, and a man with a hearing disability can hear them a mile away over a mountain. That's absurd.
Thank you.
He's on the back side of the mountain. I'm on the front side of the mountain. My name is Herman Lasker, Coach Lasker. I can hear the noise factor too. Please do something.
Other discussion. I've intentionally not let the audience discuss in times past, but tonight's going to be the last chance to say something. You come here and want to say something, you'll be recognized. Thank you. Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Cates.
No.
Good.
Present.
Higgins.
No.
Houston.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Knight.
No.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
No.
Toll.
Yes.
Seven to four. Proposed ordinance 1929 does pass. Seven to four is left. Yeah. Next item on the agenda. New business. Please turn to tab 5. Ordinance
1934, sponsored by Budget Finance. What's your pleasure? Judge, I move that ordinance 1934 be approved by the court and court.
Make a motion to read by title.
Second. Motion been made for approval and be read by title only and second. Listen up. Ordinance 1934, being acted by the Quorum Court of the County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 1834 of December 18, 2018. Attest Margaret Daughter, affirmed Jim Baker County Judge.
Judge, if I may explain, please.
Please.
The sheriff's office had one of his vehicles totaled. This is the proceed. The $15,592.40 is the insurance proceeds. And the allocation is to expenditure code for deputies and dispatchers.
That's all I had to turn say. I'm going to have to turn on my hearing aid. I didn't hear the last question. So, what you're saying, if I got it, this is insurance proceeds from a wrecked vehicle, and it's being approved for operating funds for deputies and dispatchers.
Yes, they've also, okay. The court's already bought another car to replace it last month.
and they're just moving funds around, but there's no new funds out of county general.
May I speak, sir?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. This is insurance proceeds for a totaled vehicle. The vehicle to replace it has not been purchased yet, and it will be purchased after these funds are appropriated. And this is new money, technically. The receipt was given to us by the treasurer's office on July 22nd, and we're asking the court to appropriate the money back to where the vehicle was originally purchased from, which is 3407, the criminal justice sales tax, out of department 0436, which is titled deputies and dispatchers, and it's being appropriated to the expenditure of 4,005 vehicles. So it's being put directly where the expense came from originally.
If I read the last word, I was finished by. Other discussion? Hearing none, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Cates?
Yes.
Good?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Houston?
Yes.
Kendricks?
Yes.
Lahosky?
Yes.
Knight?
Yes.
Pearson?
Yes.
Pickett?
Yes.
Rowland?
Yes.
Schock?
Yes.
Toll?
Yes.
Old Ordinance 1934 does pass. There is a special report listed on your... I'm going to come back to that. There is a special report that's called the next thing listed on your agenda, but we do have an emergency ordinance that has come up, and we need to see bring that before you at this time under new business. An emergency ordinance, and I'm going to refer to the finance chairman. He's been briefed on more than I have, so
First thing is, I'd like to make a motion for the court to approve ordinance 19-35.
Make a motion to read by title.
Second.
Okay, here's the genesis of this. Miss Lewis is going to explain it.
So, every year in January, the Arkansas Assessment Coordination Department comes up with the values that go into the system for your vehicles when you come in to assess. So, we put the VIN number in, and it comes up with a value that we think should be market. They use Price Digest, which is comparable to NADA and Kelley Blue Book. I thought they used a comparison of all three, but evidently it's Price Digest. So every year in January, they upload all the vehicle values. So this year, we did all the assessments through May 31st, like we were supposed to, and everybody noticed that the vehicle values were way down. So we have an abstract that's due every year, August 1st, that is done before we start the equalization board meetings. And we do another one after equalization board's over, and we do the comparison of the two for any changes that were made during the equalization board time. When all 75 counties turned in all their abstracts to the Assessment Coordination Department, they noticed that some counties were in up around $30 million down in personal property. So they started doing their research with Price Digest and comparing multiple years and found out that all the data that Price Digest turned over this year was incorrect. So I got this letter last week along with the other 74 counties, saying from Bear and Angela, which is the Director of Assessment Coordination, they're so sorry, and that we're going to take the hit. All 75 counties are mandated to do these values and upload the new values with our camera provider. And we ran an abstract last night, which is your two pieces of paper I gave you. One is the abstract before, the other is the abstract after when we come in this morning. So it's showing the difference in the vehicle values and the difference that Faulkner County itself was going to make by uploading these new values for the 2019 year rather than waiting for the 2020 year. It was about almost 20-something million dollars over all taxing units. And they're saying this was auto and light trucks. So they said if you have motorcycles or RVs or trailers or ATVs, those values were correct. So they sent us the new values, and each individual county over the next however long it takes is supposed to be uploading these. The problem is unless you work in our office, you wouldn't know that when you come in, like right now we're selling 2020 vehicles. If you come in to assess a 2020 vehicle, there's not a value in there yet because obviously there's not a market set for what they're worth. And so we have to go by the purchase price on your paperwork. So the next year we go in and update that. So all of those have question marks on them for this year. So obviously Apprentice couldn't push in those values when they went up this morning. So all those question marks are 19,000 parcels that have to be manually touched by our office to be updated and have the question marks removed. And so now we've went into rapid mode trying to figure out who in our office can do this. After that is finished, we have to, by state law, mail out notices saying that your values increase anytime there's a value change. So we did a filter today and found out we have approximately 7,000 email addresses for mostly businesses that we've tried to start a database for over the last couple of years. And so we've contacted ACB and AAC attorneys that said, along with David Hogue, that we're allowed to send these new assessments via email to the ones we have email addresses for. But that leaves 39,682 PPAN mail-outs to probably everybody in this room to let you know that it is a correction of your value. So Price Digest is saying now that these new values are what should have been in January to start with. So it's not a tax increase. It's what a corrected it's a corrected value of what you should have saw in the first place. So it's just letting everyone know what the correct value should have been instead of the assessment you have currently in your glove box that was done up till May 31st. And all 75 counties are taking the hit. Because they're elected officials, also they're taking the hit on envelopes, toner, paper, time, employees, and postage that I don't have and none of the other ones have. And some counties are on, I have 150-something emails right now I can't keep up with on the listserv of everyone throwing a fit because some small counties don't have the money and they don't have the money to go get. So my next step is we leave in the morning for AAC. Bear and Angela will be there from their, I'm surprised they're showing up. But I've heard that, and the president of the Arkansas Assessor Association called an emergency meeting last week to find out what all needed to happen and if any of this plans to be funded by anybody. And I know this year they're now under DF&A and they're not sure yet what that even looks like. So I don't know if there's any money to be gotten. I don't know if they're going to try to help with 75 counties or if everybody's just on their own to foot the bill for this. But it's mandated that everybody try to get it done. They've also sent an email to Margaret trying to make us make the Equalization Board deadline now August 30th. So that hopefully we could get some of this done, get some of these notices out, and if it was astronomical changes, which so far when I've looked, it's not astronomical changes. But if you didn't agree with it, you did have the opportunity to appeal. I don't know that our office is going to have 19,000 parcels touched manually by then and have notices sent out in enough time for anybody to do that. We can't find a statute even giving anybody the right to extend the Equalization Board period past yesterday was the deadline to make an appointment. So that's what we're all dealing with. The county clerks have been getting a lot of flack on it because they're all the secretaries of the EQ board. But I was just going to let y'all know, because we just started this morning. We have people working on the question marks. And when we get done, we will be mandated by the state to send out notices to everybody that hasn't been affected. So we're just trying to find the money to mainly postage because it's $20,000 in postage.
When does this have to be sent out again?
As soon as we get done. They didn't really put a deadline on it. They just called it a correction.
Okay, so as soon as y'all get done, can you tell me again, when do you think that'll be? Do you have an idea?
How many people
we
have full-time working on this for? Because we are still all doing our jobs also.
Sure.
And everybody coming in the office.
Just ballpark if you got anything in mind.
We're going to try as quickly as the next week or two to be done with those, but then we'll have to mail out those notices. We have EQ meetings all next week. We have, you know, all this stuff, so we've pretty much pulled everybody that we possibly can, but they're also having to keep another personal property window up for people who come in the door, put all this aside and wait on customers and then go back as they can. So
the $23 million delta, how much of that is Faulkner County's? Is some of that state money? The $23 million difference.
That's all ours.
$23 million.
That's all ours. That's just us.
That's just our personal property.
That's just us.
So So of our numbers we run, that's just the personal property portion of our actual. We ran before and after. That's just the assessed value, though. No, it's not tax shorted. That's assessed value difference in just vehicle of this account.
So do we know what the tax implication is?
No, we would have to take each one of those taxing units and their millage rate and multiply the difference in that, the difference in each one of those categories, to tell you the tax difference in each category.
Got a guess? I guess what I'm getting at is this a
million dollar
impact to
it's
us?
It's huge. Yes.
Ballpark.
I mean, if you took an average, millage rates are all over the chart. So we have from 52 all the way down to 40 something.
But a $25,000 vehicle economy. I mean, give us what is that? And we multiply that out by, or we divide that out by 23 million.
I mean, $25,000 market value. If we have it on $25,000, you pay on 20% of that times the millage rate. So even if you take an average millage rate in the middle, say 50 mils, because we have from 52 to about 47, 48. If you do $25,000 vehicles, 5,000 times 0.05000, what is that? 250.
So then 23 million.
School. Times just say
0.05000. That's 920 cars. Times $250 on average. It's $250,000 almost for us.
Okay.
That's huge. Yeah.
That's average. I mean, it's probably more than that.
And Sebastian County, some of them were down 30-something million.
What was your there was no increase.
I heard 23 million difference.
Between the first abstract we ran yesterday and the second abstract we ran this morning.
20% of 23 million.
Well, it wouldn't be 20%, Judge. It would be... It's the millage rate of
the assessed value.
Right. So if you take the 23 million and you divide that by 200, if you divide that by 25,000, let's just say that's the average value of a car, and it's probably more than that.
Right.
To be honest with you. But let's go up. Let's say 23 million. What do you want to say? 35,000?
I'm more focused on the 25.
When you divide the 23 million by, when you divide it by 5, come up with 20%.
Yeah, because I don't know if this is assessed. Is it assessed?
I'm going something wrong with 23
million. Well, you take your average number of vehicles. You get your average value, you take the number of vehicles. So that would knock the number of vehicles down to 657, though, so that would mean it's not as bad.
It's
100
million market value. 23
million is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Assessed value.
23 million different
right.
23 million just for Faulkner County.
23 million just Faulkner County. That's just personal property vehicle.
Personal property vehicle.
That's autos and light trucks.
And you pay on 20% of that figure.
Right.
5,000.
23. Wait just a minute now. 20% of that figure. Is that right? You pay on 20% of that figure.
Yes, sir.
Then your millage
figure. It's average 50.
Well, say average 50. I'm coming up with a lot more than $225,000 here.
Yeah, this is not assessed value already. This is market value. So if you take the 23 million, you have to take 20% of that.
20% of 23 million.
$23 million value. You take 20% of that times the average millage.
Well over $2 million hit right now. Well over 2 million.
And we've already had Dr. Murray and some others come in wanting to know why our personal property figures were so far down. And we couldn't explain it. We started looking for, like, Schlumberger and different things that have closed out Kimberly Clark, some of their renditions every year are going down because they have stuff, whatever. We were trying to give him anything that would, of course, personal property depreciates every year, so it's not going to go up. So we were trying to tell Dr. Murray it's just an average of wild personal property when he asked for just general numbers. We're so far down, just Conway City. And then when they got all 75 counties data and started looking at it, they knew something had to be not right because everybody shouldn't have had huge. Craig and Sebastian are in around 30 million less.
Okay, so you...
Yeah, it's 0.05, yeah.
All right, so we've plowed a lot of ground. Let's break it down to just a row for a second.
2.3 million.
No.
Huh? 4.6.
23 million times 0.20.
Which is 4.6 million.
Right.
Right.
Times
So the company.
It's all schools across the board.
They would get that increase.
They've lost it right now.
I have a question, Judge.
Go ahead.
There's one line in here I just would like you to explain a little bit further. It says, please note the use of the updated values for the 2019 assessment is not mandatory.
Right.
For who? For folks? They don't have to pay the increased values?
No, it's not mandatory that we load them.
We load them, yeah.
But where are we going to get them from if you don't?
Then you lose.
All 75 counties use ACD, and that's the problem we've had. They called an emergency meeting. Dana Baker, that is Polk County Assessor, called emergency meeting the second she got this. And she went down there because this is what ACD tends to do. They audit us on these numbers. They hold our funding on these numbers. They give us these numbers. But yet, if you call down there, they're going to say it was merely a suggestion that we didn't make the assessor load these numbers. But we're audited on these numbers, and if we are not in compliance, they will hold your funding because of these numbers. So where else, if it's not from them, where are we going to get these numbers?
ACD is the Blue Book
Coordination. Yeah. They're the ones that are over all 75 counties.
Oh, okay.
So all 75 counties use these, whether it's mandated or not. That they put that in there so that when you call, they can tell you it's not their fault. They didn't make me put them in there.
So who is the vendor that actually made the mistake?
Price Digest.
Okay.
Dana said she's surprised they're not calling a lawsuit or making Price Digest take some of the hits.
Yeah, that's actually my question. So are we in some kind of, we either the state or the county, some kind of contractual?
I don't know. And that's what we plan to ask at convention tomorrow. A bunch of questions. We're supposed to have another meeting to actually get them in a room and find out what is the deal.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that there's probably some type of a, just like all software, you know, it's got all that
right.
Terms and conditions at the bottom of it. You check the box that says, I agree that you're just going to give up all your rights.
Right. There has to be a reason why assessment coordination is not going after them for something.
Exactly.
But all I know is all 75 counties are in a mess.
Okay, so if I understand the fix then, so the fix that you guys are working through, which actually takes us to this ordinance, is you're going to try to email as many of these as you can and say, we undercharged you and you're going to owe us a little bit more money on the ones. Fortunately, my motorcycle won't be impacted by this, but probably my wife's car. All right, so we'll have to pay some more to try to get that. And then what you're trying to do here is
Next year's values also. It's not this year's tax bill. So you won't even know it until next year. So no one's even seen these values yet unless you go to your glove box and pull out your assessment form and compare them to the one we send you. So it's next year's 2019 payable 2020's taxes.
Okay, so you still have already notified everybody.
Yes, because you came in
year.
And assessed, so
that's
we
right.
gave you a piece of paper, yes. And now this one's changed. So we are, by state law, supposed to give you a new changed form.
Okay, so it's not like we have under-collected. We have not under-collected. So this is more notification.
Right.
So if we can get the notifications out, this will positively impact the fact that we may not under-collect.
Right.
Or, to the comment that we made here, or we can just let it go and just give up that money.
Right. And it'll roll the way it was. Under-done.
Thank you. I just want to make sure I understood it.
Chris, if I might.
Yeah.
So this is for next year's taxes.
It's for next year's tax bill payable 20. Yes.
Okay. So is it legal? Could we not send that notice with our tax bill next year? Instead of do a separate notice, could you send it in with the tax bill next year and say,
I have no idea,
sorry?
That's a collector. I don't know. I don't send the tax bill.
Because that would save the postage right there.
That's a good idea.
And we messed up. Here's the update.
Because you're going to get 1,000 calls.
Oh, I know. And we're going to take the hit.
And it would probably make it, if you can, it would probably make it easier on your office to send the notice.
The problem with doing it next year is that they have a deadline and they can't appeal the tax next year. They have to appeal it this year.
You can't get them to.
That's the problem.
Can you do an exception to that? Based upon the fact that
there's no law to accept it.
Not the statute tree.
There's actually no law for us to extend the EQ board either. So. That's why we're all upset, is because there's really nothing to direct us on this, and it's costing us money and time.
Because legislation says if you have a problem with your 2019 value, you appeal it the 2019 year. But you can't come this year and ask me about last year, 2018. We won't hear it. So that's kind of like, you know, that opens another can of worms that says, well, I think my house is too hot too, so I'm going to come next year and ask you about last year. I mean, I don't know if that can be done or not. That would be awesome if it could be. Except for Sherry doesn't mail the tax statement. She uses a third-party company in another state that sends them. So I don't know if that person is going to be responsible for something that's our office that doesn't have anything to do with her office.
Yeah, you're going to have to, you would have to pay. You pay now, pay then. You know, you're going to have to pay for the service.
Judge Baker, I have a question for Mrs. Lewis.
Sure.
Or Justice Pickett. In meetings past, Justice Pickett has emphasized how important we try to hold on for dear life to our county general money, and I have no doubt that this is a worthy cause because it sounds like we'll be collecting more than $22,000 off of our efforts here. But do you have any, I know it's just a couple of funds that are kind of like automation funds, but I don't really know what they're not automation funds, but there's the assessor's amendment, and I don't.
Amendment 79 is homestead money, and it has to be homestead in it.
Okay, so
and
you can't.
Vehicles have nothing to do with homestead.
So it doesn't come out of that. And then there was one more that I noticed in here that just had to do with your office, which late assessment fees. I don't know anything about that fund. What is that?
That's late assessment penalties for everybody that assesses after May 31st.
So where does the money go that comes into that?
Which sits in a fund.
I'm sorry. Is that the fund we pulled out mm-hmm. to pay vehicle this year? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So in essence, we might. Do you know how much that pulls in?
About $5,000 a year.
And it's been collecting for several years.
Yes, several
years.
We know how much we got in it right now.
I don't. I don't know what the total is left after vehicles or whatever. I'm not sure.
What were those vehicles? Like 32?
Something like that. I know we didn't use it all.
You can look in your statement of operations in your book and probably see the answer to that.
The updated amounts were $71,643.56, but I think you got to subtract the vehicles out of that, I believe. That was just my question. Did you have an automation or a sequestered account that we could take this out of instead of county general?
If there's enough in there, then...
If we start with the budget,
all I planned to do with that fund was let it build back up.
If we started with $75,000, all we took out was $32,000, I would assume we'd have the money, or there would be enough money in there to take care of it.
I'm not sure what the total was. That'd be fine with me if there's enough in there to take it from that.
Be better than taking it out of county general.
Because we were just going to keep
that's
fund
a big hit at this point.
$5,000 a year, you can't really do much with that. So we were just going to turn it back off and let it build again.
No. I thought about it, but I didn't know about that fund. I'm too scared to talk.
Actually, that's an opportunity.
That's a great idea.
How do you get a backup fund?
You mentioned a little bit ago there was some emails that went out today.
You still be looking at this earlier?
Sure.
I was looking at Mr. 79. I didn't see the one. Mm-hmm.
Did you mention that?
Emails from Sherry.
If you didn't watch 6 o'clock news, you didn't see it. TV stations were all
I did hear that Sherry sent.
They were all emails went out.
And text.
And
asking people to opt in to a notification.
Yeah.
Service.
And a lot of folks don't.
I haven't seen anything much
in the budget.
All
budget.
It hadn't gone over too good, I don't think.
And I didn't watch the news. I knew they came today and they asked for me. And they called and told me that KRK wanted to talk to me. And when they said the word text message, I said, oh, no, you need to talk to Sherry. I didn't send anybody a text message.
Who
said today
who produced that text?
Today she said it was her INA service that came and talked to her about possibly doing it. And this is just I don't know about all this.
Is that what you're talking about? That's the balance.
That's the budget balance. Now, she may have some money that can be appropriated. I don't know what that is.
So that she didn't even have an opportunity to, like, put on Facebook or do anything to say, beware, it's coming. She kind of found out about it sometime everybody else did.
Because I know her room was called.
And no one knew that it was going to be 11, 12, 1 o'clock at night either. They kind of just did. Because I asked her today where they get the phone numbers and the email addresses from. She said credit card payments and stuff about when they did the credit cards.
If you can read it.
You had somebody, the taxpayer had initially put that information in some form that they pulled from.
Is this...
So here, if I can, Your Honor, here would be my recommendation, my thought, is that let's go ahead and we have an emergency situation here. Let's go ahead and take this out of county general and let's resolve the emergency. And then in the Budget Finance Committee meeting, then we can actually back up, take a breath, and look at it and see if we can replenish county general with another fund or not. I think if we get too hasty tonight and start pulling it from this fund, which may be legitimate, we may make a mistake without doing our due diligence up front. Sure. Whereas with this,
we can go ahead and solve the emergency, and then we can come back, and if we need to replenish it somewhere else, we can.
Can that assessment fund then go back into County General?
If it's appropriate. Yeah. Right now, if we do it, we don't know if it's really appropriate. We don't know if the money's actually there. We think it is, and we don't know if that's actually where we want to pull it from or not. So let's back up and let the Budget Finance Committee do their job, and we have the money to resolve the emergency, which, by the way, that's what that money's there for, is the emergency.
Ms. Lewis, what's the timeline for this $23,000 spend?
As soon as we get the hands-on work done, they notices. I do not know. However fast we can get five people to work 40-something thousand parts.
90 days?
We're hoping way before, no.
They want them out next week.
They want them out by August 30th.
No, they,
because that's the deadline for EQ.
That's what I'm looking for. But you're saying in 2 weeks.
I'm saying we're going to try, just like every other county right now is working. Some of them are working overtime that we don't have. So we're not here asking for overtime to work like Saline, and some of the other counties are working early morning and late nights trying to get the stuff.
Understood. I was cautious on spending $22,000 if you weren't going to need it for 6 weeks.
No, we need it as soon as we can get these started. And the thing is 40-something, they pushed the values. The abstract we were able to run this morning is because they went ahead last night and ran 4 hours. They were going to make us be out this morning 4 hours in personal property now. And I was freaking out. That's crazy. So they actually went to dinner last night, come back in Fayetteville and print us, and went into our system last night in the server and actually ran it last night while we were out. So that when we come in this morning, we can go ahead and run our abstract and see the difference that it made. So now, those could possibly be mailed out right now, but the ones that we have to actually lay hands on can't. So they suggested, instead of getting too much stuff going at once, that we go ahead and do the 19,000 manual parcels that have to be manually done, and then do a mail out.
Gotcha.
So that they're not trying to get too many done.
All right. Okay, Judge, can I?
Yeah.
Just a question. On top of your things, it sounds to me that it's possible that we could maybe take a week to look into this next Tuesday.
No,
they're not gonna.
No, we're gonna have to hit the ground running. The daylight comes up in the morning.
So you're saying you're gonna get some of these mailed out before a week? I was under the impression that we into next week, 2 weeks.
I mean, I don't understand what waiting and sitting back in here and discussing makes a difference.
Finding where we can pull the money from instead of County General.
You have $135,000 available to appropriate.
$135,000
to appropriate, yes.
Where'd the 35 come from? I only saw 100.
Well, the...
returned money that was appropriated to the Sheriff's Office that was unused.
It hadn't hit yet.
We did that last month.
Yeah, it shows in Scott's figures on the big five that he emailed out. It shows.
We know there's $135,000 in County General, so we got that resolved.
Judge, I have a question kind of jumping on Justice Cates, what he was asking. I know Justice Good had mentioned potentially calling a special meeting. If he was thinking about doing that next week, and she wasn't going to have it done for a week or so, we could research this and include that in the agenda, but I don't know when Justice Good was
talking. I would prefer that we not do that because we're going to have too detailed. We had a special meeting last month that we brought a lot of other things into, and it ended up taking away from really the focus of that. I think Justice Higgins is spot on there. I mean, if we didn't have it, I would get it, but I think he's spot on. And we have it. I think Justice Sahosky's point is probably valid, that that money's out there in the account that she's got, that we can come back in. But let's make sure. But let's don't lump this into the other two issues.
I mean, there even is a portion of the sequestered money that can only be spent by the sequestered.
Fair enough. I do have one more question. I think it was asked. I want to make sure I understand. Technically, we don't have the authority to replenish the County General with that late assessment fee money, do we?
We don't know.
That's exactly right. That's why.
We don't know. We do not know right here tonight. We're not going to resolve it right here tonight. But we need to buy some postage.
Okay, I'm just asking questions.
We need to buy some postage. That's all I understand. It's supplies and postage. It's not.
Trust me, I'd rather not be in this situation anymore than y'all. I would love it if we did.
Wait.
First, time is of the essence for the assessor's office. That's first. The second is that Justice Higgins said, let's go ahead and pass this, and then the Budget Committee will look into it at some time in the future. The third point is, that the Department of Finance Administration is going to be under significant pressure from the other, from all the 79 counties to provide the county some funds to cover the additional expenses. There may be some funds available in the governor's emergency funds. I don't know. But if we do get, if the county does receive some reimbursement, it'll go straight into county general to replace the $22,000 that we're taking out tonight. So, Judge, I call the question on Ordinance 1935.
The motion on the floor is motion and second for this ordinance 1935. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Cates?
No.
Good?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Houston?
No.
Kendricks?
Yes.
Lahosky?
Yes.
Knight?
Yes.
Pearson?
Yes.
Pickett?
Yes.
Rowland?
Yes.
Schock?
Yes.
Toll?
Yes.
Ordinance 1935 does pass.
Now, the Budget and Finance Committee will investigate alternative sources at our next meeting.
Okay. Number six. Tab six. Legislative Joint Auditing Committee review of findings. Please turn to tab six. You have a packet in your bill, and all fairness, Councillor Hold has a brief presentation to make on the findings of the audit. I have visited with the auditor, and he commended the county on handling their funds. I think there was one exception that was pointed out that he needed us to provide an answer for. We did, but I don't have the speech that Holton was going to make on this.
Your Honor, no, we cannot. We have a deadline on it, and this is our deadline, and y'all do have to make a recommendation of what y'all want dealt with the finding that's on here. The auditor stressed to me how important it was that we meet our deadline as to not get another finding.
Without looking at it, what's the finding?
Can
we have that read for us in the audience?
The one finding that I remember him pointing out was the way that some public defender money was handled 2 years ago. This is an audit from 2017 audit is what we're looking at. And that was the finding. And yeah. I don't know.
It's page four. Page four shows the findings. If y'all recall the public defender coming in here last year about money from the prosecutor's office being, or the public defender's office being moved to the prosecutor's, well, they made a finding on the county judge, the county clerk, and the treasurer. I'm not sure what some of our roles could have been. This was done back in 2007. It started back in 2007, yeah. And, you know, it was just something that continued forward. And so we have to make a finding on it. It looks like the county library has one, and the sheriff has a finding as well. But y'all have to make a recommendation on moving forward that I can put in the minutes.
Well, the recommendation is just that we acknowledge it, correct? Because at state level, and we've never had one since I've been there, but if the tobacco board has a finding, we just have to report it to our board, and then the board has to acknowledge the finding.
Okay.
So is that it?
I think so. I don't have my notes. So
we had to make the findings to the state of Arkansas.
Right.
What our corrective action was.
Right. And you're just reporting that to us what that is.
Yes.
So I make a motion that we accept the county's recommendation to the state audit committee. What is it, legislative audit?
Yes.
That our corrective actions would be implemented
and that the court acknowledges that those actions have been taken or will be taken.
Second.
Motion's been made and second. Motion to accept the report with the findings and address the question. Any other discussion on this motion to approve the legislative audit? Hearing none, Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Cates?
Yes.
Good?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Houston?
Present.
Present. Kendricks?
Yes.
Lahosky?
Yes.
Knight?
Present.
Pearson?
Yes.
Pickett?
Yes.
Roland?
Present.
Schock?
Yes.
Toll?
Yes.
Legislative Joint Audit Committee report was approved. Justice Good, you got the floor.
Judge, our normal meetings sometimes go long. I mean, we're at 8:45 tonight, and we get an issue that I think is still pressing before the county, and that's a way to figure out how to fund the jail overcrowding issue that we have, or at least start working on that. I know that Justice Higgins and the Courts and Public Safety Committee potentially uncovered some funding sources the other night. I would like to make a motion that we have a special meeting. I can't next Tuesday night because of a prior commitment. If it has to be on Tuesday night, then I would recommend we go to September the 3rd, I think. If it doesn't have to be a Tuesday night, I could go next Monday night or Thursday night at the pleasure of the court, but I would like for us to discuss, again, continue our discussion on our jail funding issue. Also, again, during our personnel committee meeting, we had where our county attorney basically told us that he was going to resign by the end of the year. I think that as a court, I'd like for us to look at how that replacement will be. I talked to you today a little bit. I've also talked to the prosecutor about that. So I'd like to take that up as the full court as well. I'd like to limit those two items, though, so that we're not distracted by other things, because, again, that jail funding issue, I think, could take a significant amount of time.
Does anybody have a conflict with September the 3rd?
That's the
day after Labor Day.
Day after Labor Day.
You got a conflict?
Yes.
Day after Labor Day.
I do, too.
So we got some conflicts with the 3rd. Okay.
What about a Thursday evening?
I could go next Thursday night.
29th?
If that pleases the court.
Next Thursday, we're using the courtroom for EQ. I mean, we could move, but we will have EQ hearings in the.
Starts at 4.
But we'll have some up in the evening.
Yeah.
We can go to the other one.
Quick question, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Question. Why can't this be worked in committee and then something be presented to the court? Is there something concrete that is ready to go out of committee to the full court? I ask because these special meetings are expensive, and I know they've been racking up the dollars, and we're already taking hits on our general budget, on our general account.
I agree that these meetings do cost, but by the same token, I think this is something that the full court needs to address. Again, if you recall our last meeting with the sheriff, you know, we have a jail problem right now, and it's not going away. You know, Justice Higgins, again, and his team uncovered some stuff the other night, but this is something that needs to be addressed sooner rather than later. And so that's why I make that request.
But can't they get something out of committee to the full court to a regular meeting for us to debate?
Again, my request would be that it be the full court that debate this, not just the committee, and research this, not just the committee.
And so it won't go through.
Actually,
that's what I'm asking, I guess, is there...
Yeah, I think we need to review in more detail, specifically the jail fines and fees that we talked about in courts and public safety last week, but we only had about 60% of the quorum court there. I mean, there were several JPs who did stay and participate and listen, but there are some discussions that need to be held. There's not anything else to take that back to committee on.
We just got to make decisions.
Yeah, there's some direction that we need from the full court.
Are we going to start enforcing what really the county hasn't enforced in years? Correct?
Yes.
Not only that, but I feel like there might be a little bit of an urgency on the county attorney position. Because if I recall correctly, he said 2 weeks up to the end of the year. So it kind of makes me nervous that we could actually be left without an attorney.
Yeah.
So I feel like that needs to be addressed.
As the chair of the Budget and Finance Committee, we can't start working on the resolution, the final resolution of the jail issue until we have some numbers before us. Now, the budget cycle is just starting, and we can certainly resolve the issue about fines and fees if we start enforcing that, such that it could be incorporated and acknowledged in the next year's budget. But talking about the resolution of the jail issue, is a numbers problem.
Yeah.
The full court does not have the numbers available, and the Budget and Finance Committee at this time does not have the numbers in front of it.
Justice Pickett, I agree that we don't know the full numbers of what the jail is going to cost, but I do think that we can start laying groundwork as the court to potential ways that we will fund it regardless of the cost. And so that is part of what I hope to do, is discuss potential ways that we will fund this, either be it jail fines and fees, be it some reallocation of county funds that are currently spent somewhere else. But again, I think that's a need for the full court to discuss, not just a committee.
I think Ms. Woolley will have
to. Until we have some numbers, we're going to be in 9 million different directions on our discussion. We have to have some numbers to start with.
Again, I agree that numbers are always good. As a matter of fact, we've got to have the final number at some point in time. But regardless, if we're going to spend $5 million for a temporary jail or $25 million for a permanent jail, either way, we don't have a funding source dedicated for either one of those that accomplishes that in a timely manner.
I thought we were given numbers.
Well, the sheriff gave us some, but we don't know what we're going to do yet. And I don't... Is it chicken or is it the egg? Do we know which direction
we're going to go? Ms.
Green
may be able to shed some light on this discussion.
So I had two things I'd like to point out to the court with the discussion that's being had. The first is, if I remember right, a few months ago, the Forum Court was approved additional funding for these special meetings like this when they were occurring for the animal shelter operations, trying to come up with a solution for that. And if I remember right, Ms. Darter had come up with a figure to allow those meetings to continue. It would need this approximate amount of money, and that was approved for the Forum Court. So I do believe, just off of that previous meeting and the approval of that additional funding, that there is at least some source of funding available for these additional special meetings for the full court off of that previous approved funding. And additionally, we did provide the court, and we can give you actual copies of the quotes we have for the temporary housing solution contracts that we have the funding for. I believe it was $3.1 million for that temporary housing facility. And that did not include the staff and benefits that would be associated with that. And so that would need to be included as well. But we can have that ready and brought to committee or full court whenever the opportunity arises.
So Ms. Woolley is correct. We did appropriate additional funds for the Quorum Court. So if we were to have a special meeting or two, it would not come out of County General.
Well, was that to pay for the previous ones, or is it for future?
No, we did some of the future ones. I'd have to go back and look at my notes.
Margaret, do you know?
Excuse me?
The funding that we approved for the special meetings previously, you came back
and
requested additional funding.
I didn't ask for money for your special meetings. I just asked if y'all were going at this rate, y'all were going to need this amount of money to get to the end of the year.
So that was to pay for special meetings to the end of the year?
Yes.
Okay.
Basically, yes.
And we have slowed it down.
Okay. Good.
Only by 1 month.
So
What's the, I guess, what, on your calendars and all this, what's the 10th? Anybody got a conflict with the 10th?
That's normal quorum court committee meeting nights. I was trying to stay away from those.
What about the 26th, Monday?
I could go 26th of Monday or 29th next Thursday, either one. It's a pleasure.
I have conflict on the 26th.
29th?
I'm going to go to the 29th.
We've got one on 29th.
Judge,
I've got we all got one on 29th. That's first down night of football.
Judge, I have a question for Ms. Thurman. How many more special meetings can we have with our current funding and anticipating some budget meetings?
Well, I mean, y'all can appropriate y'all more money, but
I
mean,
can appropriate more money, but out of our current funds,
I don't know without running the numbers. I could do that and give it to you. I can email it out to you tomorrow, but I don't. I was planning if y'all were doing two. I did it at y'all doing two meetings a month. But y'all keep in mind, when y'all reach a $10,000, 381 mark, y'all won't get paid the rest of the year when y'all hit that mark, and y'all will be dangerously close.
Right. So I guess something to throw out there that is a potential option, because I do appreciate the urgency with Justice Goods trying to move, and I do appreciate Justice Pearson's thoughts about the funding. Could we consider potentially meeting as a committee of the whole, say, for public safety? Could we do that, or the quorum court?
No, that's a path we've been down before that has been highly advised against by our county attorney.
You cannot have a
quorum. It's illegal, for one thing, because it causes the committee to have a quorum.
Okay.
Yeah, and that creates issues.
So the 27th, if I get my, am I the only one that's got a conflict next Tuesday night? I'll change my.
I may be a tad late. I do have something, but I can be here late. I know that breaks everybody's heart.
I'll make a motion that we have a special meeting next Tuesday night, August 27th, that will be limited to discussion of the county attorney going forward and the jail funding issue.
Second.
I am allowed to show up late, right?
Yes, sir.
Most have been made and seconded for call meeting, special court. Next. Tuesday night. 27th, I believe.
Yes, sir.
What time would you like to meet?
7 o'clock. That's fair enough.
We'll meet right here.
Yes, sir. That's all right. Well, pretty easy.
Well, we do need to confirm the courtroom's available, because other people do sometimes have our courtrooms. We will need to confirm it.
Is the equalization board, that's not...
I don't have anything scheduled at 9 on Tuesday.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Can you ask for a no in case there's a no so I can log?
Let's move on. Any no? Okay. Did you want to vote no?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. That's why I said it won't be for me. So the next thing on the tab is announcements.
Did
anybody have announcements? You don't want to include 911 or any of that stuff in the deficit of 911 and other things we're dealing with, buying any properties from the flood or anything like that. You don't want to do that. announcements?
The only thing I've got, Judge, is the Arkansas Association of Counties meeting in the next couple of days. So I'll be representing us at the Arkansas Association of Quorum Court.
Judge, I had a question for is Randy back there at OEM? Is he?
There's not a Randy at
OEM. Oh, okay, there you are. Okay, sorry.
Sheila.
I may have his daddy's in Randy. Anyway, Sheila, is there a class coming up that we were invited to in this August? The end of August is the last day to learn how to be responsive to disasters.
There was a stop the bleeding for help arrives that I invited the court for.
Okay. When was that?
It's in August, but we've had several.
I knew you had several, but the last one was the end of August, is it not?
It is.
I just thought everybody might want to be aware of that.
Hold on, pop socket.
The 29th?
Yeah.
29th.
Yes, ma'am. An announcement. Last night we had the Law County Democrat Advisory Committee, and one thing that they said over and over is that they would love to have more news from the Quorum Court, even if the reporter is not always here, if there is anything that the Quorum Court will be of interest to the people, the residents of Faulkner County, they would love to have that. And then the other thing is, there won't be a fair book this year. You know, we've gotten accustomed to having our annual fair book, and because of finances, there won't be a fair book this year, but we can still go to the website for the information. And lastly, my calendar has at times been incorrect, and Judge, if it is not incorrect, this would be an anniversary month for you. You've always been so sensitive to other people in the county, even starting this meeting asking us to pray for the city attorney. So we do want to recognize you, sir, on this anniversary month for you.
It's been a tough day. It's been a tough day. And the lady that lost her daughter, my sister was killed by a drunk driver. About 3 hours after my dad died, unexpectedly. And when you go through that, and hear people like she was talk about it, it just makes the day tougher. But anyway. I want to say something about South Hill Fire Department. Anybody here from South Hill? Nobody at all? South Hill Fire Department had their class rating lowered to a class 6 from a 9. Folks, that puts money in people's pockets. And I am so proud of the work that group is doing to be able to get that class rating lowered like that when we thought they was going to hell in a handbasket about 6 months ago. So I felt like it should be. The other announcement I have, the month of September, following up on what she talked about, Faulkner County Fair, make plans to support Faulkner County Fair if you can. It benefits the kids in this county and all. Ain't nothing like watching a kid smile.
I'm just going to eat a corn dog or something.
They sell them too. They sell them too. Anybody else got an announcement? I'm up all mine. So y'all, is it next week?
Yes, sir.
Could we schedule one for the next week too or something? I mean, I didn't forget something. Thank y'all for being here. This is Jeremy.